Our Bible study tonight is out of Matthew chapter 4, verses 23 through 25, Christ as Israel's Messiah by his works. If Jesus Christ is the Messiah from God, the Jew would ask, can this one claiming to be the Messiah perform the works of Messiah? And of course, by works, the Jew would mean the works predicted in the Old Testament that Messiah was predicted to perform. The Old Testament was very clear on the coming of a Messiah. It was also clear on what the Messiah would be doing, the works that he would be doing. In fact, Isaiah chapter 35, verses 5 and 6 indicated that he would be healing the blind, the deaf, the lame, and the mute. And so the Messiah would have to do all of these things. Well, Matthew 4, 23 to 25 reveals that Jesus Christ abundantly performed these works with a very rich application for us today. I want to read the passage and then we'll look at it. Matthew 4, beginning at verse 23 and going to the end of the chapter. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with demons, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis, from Jerusalem, from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. Okay, I have a map here in the back of my Bible, and when we get down to the latter section of this, we'll point the map out and show you what was going on and where these people were coming from. And it's really remarkable in view of the fact that they didn't have cars and vehicles today where you can get in a car and just travel like that. But the people were coming from distances as far away as like Boston, Massachusetts to New Hartford on foot because of what Jesus was doing. And they were bringing sick people and so forth. It was amazing. Anyway, first, Christ performed his ministry among the Hebrew people traveling throughout Galilee. Matthew 4:23 tells us. Now, he did not try to deceive Israel by functioning in a corner, but he traveled to do his works in front of all the people. Notice verse 23, Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and so forth. Jesus referred to this in John 18, verses 19 and 21. He says, you know, everywhere where the Jews have gone, I've gone. I didn't do this in a corner. He was talking about the high priest. The high priest was asking him about his doctrine. He says, why don't you ask the people? You know, I've taught in front of everybody, and I've taught nothing in private. I've taught everything out in public. Ask the people what I taught. They know. Of course, at that point, they ordered him to be slapped across the mouth, and Jesus said, well, if I had it coming, fine, but he says, if I'm telling the truth, why are you punishing me? But Jesus Christ did not seek to hide anything. He did everything very transparently in front of everybody. And then second, Jesus performed his ministry among devout Jews. He went from synagogue to synagogue, from one religious meeting place to the next, performing before religious leaders and devout Jews throughout Galilee. Verse 23, teaching in their synagogues. I'll never forget one day I heard a prof saying that there were lots of towns that Jesus in Israel did not address because there were towns where there were Hellenistic Jews or Jews who had given into the Greek culture and changed and were speaking Greek and so forth. The towns to which Jesus went were towns that were predominantly Orthodox Jews. These are Jews that kept holding on to their Hebrew or their Aramaic or whatnot and kept, they were the conservative Jews. So Jesus worked specifically, primarily with Orthodox or the very, the right-wing Jewish people. He was going only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He wasn't fooling around with people who were trying to compromise their views at all. He was very, very strong. If Jesus were in our culture today, he would be very comfortable with fundamentalist Christians and so forth. That's the way he operated. He did not shy away from examination by those who knew what the scriptures said about the Messiah as though he had anything to hide, but he disclosed himself to all. See, Jesus would perform in front of rabbi after rabbi after rabbi. He would teach in front of rabbi after rabbi after rabbi. And if he was teaching something that was unbiblical, they would have jumped all over him or they kicked him out and so forth. But they didn't because they were astounded at his teaching. They couldn't pinpoint anything that he said that was ungodly or unbiblical. It's amazing. He wasn't hiding anything from anybody. And then, as he was traveling about, he was teaching in the synagogues, but he was publicly heralding. The word preaching is actually the word keruso, which means to announce or to shout outdoors. When George Whitefield was ministering here in New England, they said that without a megaphone, he could speak to 20,000 people and they could hear him. That's a lot of people. And you had to have a voice that would really carry. And he did. He had a very powerful voice, tremendous orator. And he would lift up and speak. Well, Jesus was this way. He would lift up his voice when he was out in the fields and so forth. And he would preach to thousands upon thousands of people. And they would hear him. But in the synagogues, he would teach. It was quieter in the synagogues. So he was fulfilling the ministry of the prophet Moses, that Moses said would come like unto himself. You see, back in Deuteronomy chapter 18, in verses 15 to 19, Moses predicted that there would be a prophet like him who would minister. In fact, Moses, let me read that, Deuteronomy 18, 15, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto you a prophet from the midst of your brethren, like unto me, unto him you shall listen, according to all that you desire of the Lord your God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire anymore, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto you," like Moses. "And I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not listen unto my words which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him." And of course, when Jesus Christ fed the people in the wilderness with the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he fed them supernaturally. It reminded them of Moses, who had fed them with the man in the wilderness. And that's why they said, this is the prophet that is to come. So Jesus was not doing anything in a corner. And he was ministering, disclosing himself to all. And he was disclosing himself as a prophet. Fourth, Jesus was communicating the good news or the gospel, the euangelion of the kingdom. Matthew 4:23d. He was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Now, the gospel of the kingdom is different than the gospel that we preach today. The gospel we preach today is about the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ. The gospel of the kingdom is the gospel of the messianic kingdom, the kingdom that God was going to raise up for the nation Israel. So Jesus was presenting himself as the messianic king. To Matthew's Jewish readership, this message concerned God's moving to fulfill his covenantal program with Israel and to establish his kingdom on the earth. What every religious Hebrew realized was the kingdom over which Messiah would rule and which it would concern the Messiah. And then fifth, Jesus was simultaneously healing every disease and every affliction among the people. The last part of verse 23, he was healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Now, this is an amazing thing. According to the Old Testament passages like Isaiah 35, 5 and 6, Messiah's arrival would be accompanied by the healing of the blind, the deaf, the lame, and the mute. But Jesus went beyond these problems to heal every kind of an issue, whether it was a disease or as a weakness or an ailment. In fact, the Bible here in the passage tells us that he was actually casting out demons. Now, the scripture never said Messiah was going to be doing that, but he was. In fact, he had compassion, and so his compassion was spread out not to include just the sicknesses that were prophesied of, but any sickness. I would imagine if there was somebody who had a cystic fibrosis, he would heal them. If there was a person there who had some sort of a brain aneurysm, or maybe who had a tumor on the brain or something, that he could heal the individual, and he would do that. He didn't stop at anything. Sixth, Jesus' ministry was overwhelmingly effective, going beyond what was even predicted of the Messiah. News of his ministry went all throughout all Syria. In verse 24, it says, his fame went all Syria. Now, Syria is the area that is north of the Sea of Galilee and of the region of Galilee. I have a map here of Israel in Jesus' day, and Jesus was ministering right in this area. But news of him went up here. This is Phoenicia, and all up in this area, Caesarea Philippi, and it might have gone up pretty high. We don't know. If you had heard that there was a person who was healing people who were near death's door, and you had a person who was near death's door, you'd make it over to see Jesus. So people were in this area up here, they were, news about him spread all over. And so what happened is they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments. In fact, the Bible says severe pain. Torments would be people with severe pain. I have a daughter, Connie, who suffers from various levels of pain. And I can imagine what a relief it would be for the Lord to heal her of something like that and make enough room in her head and settle the neurally mediated hypotension, the Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, all that stuff, and clear it up just like that. It'd be a marvelous thing. But anyway, he was healing people with various diseases, people with severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, those who were paralyzed. These are maladies that went beyond the scope of what the Old Testament had predicted that the Messiah would address. The people were astounded at the breadth of illnesses and weaknesses that he was healing. And it was just one after the other, after the other, after the other. In fact, one of the Gospels, I think it's Mark's Gospel, says that Jesus would stay up. In fact, one night he stayed up throughout the night casting demons out of people. Can you imagine that? Demon possession was huge in Israel at this time, which indicates that there was a tremendous amount of spiritual darkness there. It was like, it was worse than what we knew in Nigeria, West Africa. My parents went there in the early 40s. He was staying through the night casting demons out of Jewish people. God sent his son into Israel at a time of tremendous spiritual darkness and need. And you can imagine the tremendous spiritual fatigue that would have come up that Jesus would have faced in dealing with this thing throughout the night. Nevertheless, the Bible says that Jesus healed them all, demonstrating that the power of Almighty God was with him to address all of these needs. The last part of verse 24, and he healed them. Very profound statement by Matthew. You name it, you have a disease, wherever you come from, you bring it to Jesus, he healed them. No questions. He healed every one of them. And then, consequently, throngs of people came to him not only from Galilee, but from Decapolis, the 10 cities east and south of the Sea of Galilee, and from Jerusalem, 70 miles to the south, and from Judea, the region around Jerusalem and its hill country, and the region west of the Jordan River. Now, I'll go back to the map that we had here again, and we'll look at this again on map 12 here. Decapolis is this area here. There were 10 towns that were kind of connected, so people were coming to Jesus from Decapolis. They were coming over to Galilee. And then people were coming from Jerusalem. Jerusalem is 70 miles south. They're coming on foot in carts. And people, this is rough hill country, so it would take a lot of work. A lot of times they go from Jerusalem, they go down to the Jordan Valley and come up this way. And then they were coming up into Galilee. And then they were coming from the Jordan area, right here in this area along the Dead Sea and up in this area. So basically the entire area of Israel was affected by this. Everybody heard about Jesus and they were coming to him. This is before he ever broadened his ministry and started traveling down to Perea and these other places. This is when he's just in Galilee. And you can imagine the throngs. He had all of Israel was congregating up in this sort of what they call the hillbilly section of Israel. If you came from Nazareth, you were looked down upon and despised. But if it meant your life or your uncle's life or your husband or your wife's life or your child's life, you brought them. And you were coming up to Jesus. So the Bible and the historians tell us that when Whitfield and Wesley would preach here in New England when the Great Awakening occurred, as he would go from one location to the next, people would follow him from one meeting place to the next, and they said it was like a dust storm. There was so much dust that was stirred up by the wagons and the horses that were galloping after thousands of people that it was like a dust storm, and people just were absolutely hungry for the word of God when they preached. It was that way with Jesus. There followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond Jordan. It certainly got the attention of everybody in the Israel. Now, what is even more amazing is that Jesus' ministry was aboundingly gracious. Israel was under the Mosaic law, and under the law promised that the people of Israel would have no maladies if they obeyed it. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, let me just look at that passage. Deuteronomy chapter 28, beginning at verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if you hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you on high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you if you will hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, and the fruit of your ground, the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your cattle, and the flocks of your sheep. Blessed shall be your basket and your store. Blessed shall you be when you come in and when you go out. But, verse 15, it shall come to pass if you will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command you today, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. And then let me skip down. Verse 21. And the Lord shall make the pestilence or the disease cleave unto you until he has consumed you from off of the land where you go to possess it. The Lord shall smite you with consumption, with fever, and with inflammation, with extreme burning, with a sword and with blasting, with mildew, and they shall pursue you until you perish, etc. So these diseases were not supposed to be around if they obeyed the Lord. So the very presence of all these diseases indicated that there was a huge amount of sin. Now, when we were in Nigeria, West Africa, the Africans told us that demon possession, even amongst the pagans, was something that didn't come easily. You had to work at it. You had to sit there, much as they do in transcendental meditation today. You put your mind in a state of neutral and let whatever impression come in, and you'd work at it for months, and eventually you could become demon-possessed. So even pagans had to work at it. So with all of these people demon-possessed, there was a tremendous amount of sin. But Jesus went ahead and healed these people because he was ministering grace. And this is why John said, of his grace have we all received, and grace piled upon grace. So this was a phenomenal ministry that Jesus had. It was an earth-shattering ministry that affected the entire nation Israel. And news of it got into Gentile territory. We know that because when he would move out of into Gentile territory, Gentiles would seek him out for healing and so forth. So that part of the world had come to hear about Jesus Christ. So in his works, Jesus went above and beyond the calling of even the Old Testament's predictions about the Messiah. He demonstrated the power of God and abundant grace unto the nation Israel. So we need to trust in Jesus Christ as the Messiah for salvation. And then we need to trust his tremendous power and his abundant grace to address all of the problems of sin in us or in others, and then tell the world about him. We serve a Savior who is right now on the throne, the Father's throne, and he's ruling over the universe. He's God. He's God come in the flesh. And he has tremendous power to heal sinners who are spiritually ill and so forth, tremendous power to save people. And what we need to do is to demonstrate that in our lives and then tell people very affirmatively we have a Savior who can help them, who can save them. And we need to trust him and rely on him because people need this kind of a Lord today. There are a lot of people today, they said in view of the election that's coming up, there are a lot of Americans that are scared because they don't think the current administration can really solve their problems. The stock market went down today, what, 160 points, something like that. You know, people are just afraid. Well, we have a Savior that answers that fear, and we need to let the world know about it.